Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land, but especially my friends in Kenya, who I know will be listening today because we have a very special guest. And I just want to say karibu and ask you habari yako and hope that all are well in these very, very unusual times. I want you to know that we are thinking about you here in the States and all of the friends that I have brought over to Kenya over the years. We have stayed in touch and we've been praying and had a conference call yesterday with people to give an update of what we knew and what we had heard from Kenya. And so we're very excited today to have my best student in the world, Irene Murathi, to be with us as a guest. I'll be bringing her on in a few minutes. And, you know, I have a friend and a board member and a brother who has, he knows my material inside out. He knows it better than I do. He very often will tell some of my ministry stories, and he'll portray them like they're his own because he's so familiar with the details. So he may know my stuff a little bit better than Irene, but nobody has done more with it in the world, and that's why I have bestowed on her the title of my best student in the world. And so it's always such a source of I guess comfort for me to know that when I go to Kenya and then I leave, and I go to Kenya more than any other nation, but when I leave, I know the nation is in good purpose hands, and I think I am. Correct when I'm saying that Irene is the leader of the purpose movement in Kenya. That's not to say other people aren't doing good things, but she has been tried and tested, and she is still doing what it is that she believes God wants her to do. We're going to hear more about that as we go on today, and I'll bring her on in just a few minutes. And I do have a surprise that I have told her about that we'll be talking about towards the end of the show. So stick around and finish to the end, and you can hear that what we're going to talk about at that time. I didn't do a show yesterday. It was an unusual day, and I just decided to do my Facebook Live in the evening. I'm trying to do three of those a week, and then radio I started 5 weeks ago. This is the sixth week, so already more than almost 1,100 people have downloaded the various shows that we've done. I'm really gratified with the response. If you're listening in for the first time, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/John Stanko. And there will be a list of the shows that we've had. And the title of the show is Wake Up to Purpose. So I'm trying to present models, role models from all over the world. And we've had someone call us from the Caribbean, someone call us from the UK. We've had a Kenyan caller. And then other people that I've worked with as authors and people whose lives have been impacted by the purpose message. So this isn't just busy work. I felt at the beginning of the pandemic, I read something that during World War II, C.S. Lewis was asked by the BBC to do regular broadcasts to talk about faith and faith in those times of crisis when it looked like England was going to cease to exist and be absorbed by Nazi Germany. And I thought, well, if that's what C.S. Lewis could do, then what can I do? And so that's why I've taken such an aggressive posture during this world shutdown to on social media and blog radio to come to you in many different forms, whether it's short posts and sayings or articles or Facebook Live or Blog Talk Radio. So what can you do? We talked last week in one of my sessions, while we are very we're very in tune today with soundbite, you know, so a saying that we see on Facebook or Twitter, and it's short and it's pithy and it's pregnant with meaning, and we like it. But that's not faith. Faith without action is dead, and the action isn't to like it on Facebook. The action is to apply it. And so anything I'm doing, I'm hoping somebody reads it. Like I had a post last week, extraordinary times require extraordinary faith from ordinary people and an extraordinary God. And boy, I had 100 plus people who liked, some loved, some now with the new emoji, they cared for it. But the reason I put that there was, if you're an ordinary person, where are you exercising extraordinary faith in these extraordinary times in an extraordinary God? So it was meant to be a challenge, not a comfort, not a byline or a phrase that people could just identify with. I want you to have extraordinary faith, because that's what it's going to take for us to get to the new normal. That's what it's going to take for us to get to the new world, that God has shaken us out of the old and is taking us to that new world. So anyway, enough of the sermon there, because I'm taking up valuable time here. But every show that I have had, we do start with a reading of Psalm 91, and I do it from a different version of the Bible. In Bible Gateway, there are 60 different versions in the English language. Some of them are only New Testament, and so I've been trying to rotate. And truthfully, I've started to forget which ones I've done on Facebook Live and which ones I've done on radio, but I'm pretty sure I haven't done the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. And I thought I'd do the RSV because before I do the new RSV, for most of the translations, there is a title assigned to this psalm. And in the RSV, the title of Psalm 91 is Assurance of God's Protection. So let me read this to you. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him, says the Lord. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've repeatedly said that's not an incantation, that's not a magic formula. We don't say that and close our eyes and just believe now it's going to chase away all the evil spirits. It's an affirmation of our trust in the Lord. We trust him for health, and if we get sick, we trust him for healing. And if we one day will succumb to a sickness, then we trust him for salvation. But I'm also seeing that we're going to need that Psalm 91 as much economically as we are medically, and we really need it medically. So we want to stand on the promises, and we want to affirm our trust and our faith in God regardless of what the circumstances look like. And having said that, I want to go ahead and bring on our guest today, Irene Murathi, the Purpose Leader in Kenya. Irene, karibu to Wake Up to Purpose.
Asante sana, Dr. John Stanko.
Yes, it's so good to have you. I don't know why I haven't had you on earlier, but it's good to hear your voice. And tell us a little bit how your purpose work is going in this unusual season. I think it's on a bit of an uptick. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I'm so thankful to God. And maybe before I share about my purpose journey or where I'm at currently, allow me to thank you very much for being my purpose coach. I have said this to you in person. I have written it on Facebook. And I just want to say it again. From the depth of my heart, I'm eternally grateful that the Lord brought you my way and that you introduced me to my purpose, because it's the most meaningful thing that I have done, just to embrace my purpose and, you know, to walk the journey. It's been 13 years since we met. I'll never forget us sitting at the Nairobi Hilton. You know, it was March 2007. And as we went through the DISC personality session, at some point, it was a 90 minute. At some point, I started crying and tears were just flowing because you just hit it for me. I was feeling so frustrated having worked in the bank. It was close to 10 years then. And you just helped me in 90 minutes to just see my purpose. And for that, I'm very grateful. So to come back to your question currently, despite what is going on globally, it's totally amazing, and it can only be the hand of God, because it's been an amazing time for my purpose. I have many clients. We launched two new programs in the midst of the pandemic, and that is nothing short but the hand of God. And therefore, I am excited that despite what is going on in the world, we can tap into what you've been saying in many of your social posts. We can tap into faith. And that's not to ignore the negative things that are happening in the world. But Jesus made it very clear that in the world we will have tribulation. But he goes on to say, cheer up, because I have overcome the world. So tapping into faith in the midst of the darkness, then we become the light. So the business is doing very well currently, and I'm thankful to God.
Yes, well, Irene, it's been a joy and a privilege to be connected. I've met with hundreds of people while I'm in Kenya, and I enjoy every one of them, and I've learned so much, and I've received so much. But I really have never had anybody leave a session like you did and just plow forward, charge forward to apply purpose, and not just apply it, but then make it available and accessible to so many people. And it's, I guess it's been a question in my mind, you know, why it's taken this long, because I know you've had Response and Royal and Rich and PDI, but If I can make any suggestion to our audience, if you're in Kenya and you haven't had a session or you haven't gotten with Irene, you need to, because the new normal that's coming is going to require that you be a person of purpose, and you're going to have to sort through all that you have done and all that you are to understand what you have to contribute in the new age that is coming. And it's an age of purpose, and I think Irene is perfectly positioned and has developed resources that can really help you to grasp hold of the or get the different kind of thinking that goes into finding and fulfilling purpose. So I've said it. It's been a privilege to walk with you, and I've also said that I couldn't have recommend what you have and what you do highly enough to my friends, to my brothers and sisters in Kenya. Now, 2007, I can still picture where we were in that Hilton Hotel, and I remember the tears, and I thought, oh, I've made this poor woman cry, and I probably overstepped my bounds. But go back and tell us a little bit about why you came to the Hilton, why you requested a time for us to meet, and why it impacted you so deeply.
I had worked close to 10 years, like I said, in the bank, and I was honestly bored beyond belief. It felt as though my physical body used to report to the bank every day. Of course, my spirit and soul were in there, but it just felt like it was my body that was in the bank and my mind would wander away. Of course, I'd serve the customers, but not with much joy. And maybe to recap a little bit, this was my first job after college, and the first 5 years working in the bank were exciting. I mean, it was just it was amazing having a job in the bank. My mom thought, Now we will never suffer poverty again. My daughter works in the bank. Mm-hmm. So I did enjoy the first 5 years. And being a people person, it was interesting meeting new clients and just learning the operations that go on in the bank. But after 5 years, I just began to feel disconnected deeply within my spirit. The routine was too much for me, and I wasn't able to express my creativity. And so I felt trapped. Actually, the correct words, I just felt, and yes, I needed the money. I needed the salary at the end of every month. But I began to question myself, is there more to life than this? Is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? So I was in search of my purpose, although I didn't know it at that time in those words. And then I was introduced, I believe it was Kenty Stikolo who said, there's a purpose coach that was coming into town, and that is you. And you had a session, I believe, at the Nairobi Safari Club. And then uh-huh. you are willing to see people one-to-one after that. And that's how I booked my session with you one-to-one.
Uh-huh. And you didn't really have the funds, did you?
Say again?
You didn't really have the money to get together, did you?
No, I didn't. Although I was working in the bank, and most people listening to me from Kenya will identify with that. And I guess even in America, because people in the society generally, there's a lot of consumer debt, and people, I guess, like in the States, would max out their credit card. So for me, despite working in the bank, at that particular day I was supposed to see you, I was totally broke, and I needed $150 for the session, which is 15,000 Kenya shillings. And to be honest, I didn't have it. But luckily, because I was working in the bank, we had a staff welfare that you could access money anytime. So I just borrowed from that, we call it chama here in Kenya, from that kitty. And I remember one of my colleagues joking and asking, what are you taking this, $150 for? And I said, I'm going to sit with a coach who is going to tell me why I hate my job. And they really laughed at me, and they said, so are you going to become the bank CEO after this? Because the Hilton Hotel where I was coming to see you for the session is like 5 minutes walk from the branch of the bank I was working on, Kimathi Street. So I was just, waiting for the time to walk over. And so they made a lot of fun. But I said, well, I will not become the bank CEO after the session, but hopefully I can find me, because you all know, just like yourselves, that we hate our jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're
just
tuning in, we're talking to Irene Morathi, who pioneered the first PDI, Personal Development Institute in Kenya. And through PDI, thousands of lives have been transformed through her appearances on radio and her courses. And I've visited with many of the alums and been to some of the banquets. So we have our session, and talk again to our listeners now. What transpired during the session? How did those 90 minutes go?
Well, we did the DISC personality profiling. At first, to be honest, I was just answering a set of questions, and I didn't know where this was leading. But as you began to unpack it for me, you looked at me straight in the eye at some point and asked me, what are you doing in the bank? And tears just started flowing. I couldn't answer you back because I wanted to say, I hate it, I am tired, but I couldn't even bring myself to say those words. And the most amazing thing is you didn't give me an answer, you just asked a question. But as you continued after that question and my tears were flowing to explain what my personality in the DISC stands for and the possibilities of the things I could do, I began to reconnect with my childhood, because I grew up reciting memory verses in front of the church. I grew up as a people person, and here I was, and I had lost that part of me, because my work in the bank in operations, I was a bank teller. And sometimes I would sit in the customer service desk and sometimes in the credit desk. But most of it required a lot of task orientation. And I'm not a very task-oriented person. I'm not a very detailed person. I love to speak to people. So as you're asking me those questions, what are you doing in the bank? The part of me that wanted to reconnect with people again and just free flow as a people person started to come alive. And yes, I was sitting there with you in the session, but I was going back to my childhood and replaying those moments when I really enjoyed just standing in front of the church, reciting Bible verses, or my high school life where I was the chair lady of the Christian Union, and I'd be happy if I'd stand and talk. And I realized I had lost that. And when I left the session, I went home and I wrote down a resignation letter, which I didn't hand in immediately, but I wanted to resign on my mind. And I wrote myself on my journal that one day I'm just going to be speaking to people, which is what I have since been doing.
So how did it play out? I mean, I think it was about a year later that you you did turn that letter in. Why at that time did you do it? What were you ready to do, and what steps were you taking that determined that it was the right season for you to act on what you were feeling in your heart, that your time in the bank was done?
Actually, I turned in the letter the same year in the month of October. So the month we met in March 2007, and October 2007, I was serving notice. I guess my speed of implementation is fast because of my personality style. So in between March and September, I had a very big decision to make because I owed the bank close to 3 million Kenya shillings. I guess that's how much in US dollars. I had a mortgage, and I was wondering, if I resign from the bank and I don't have the money to pay off the mortgage, what will happen to me? But then I weighed and I said, I'd rather sell this house, pay the bank their money, leave the bank with nothing, quote unquote, but just go and pursue purpose and trust God that somehow God would provide later on down the road. Because my freedom to pursue purpose was more important to me at that time than just being in the wrong job and having the provision of a house through mortgage. So I had to process several things, but that was the single most biggest decision. And also getting the approval of my mother, whom I love very much, and my immediate family members, who all said, no, you can't resign from the bank. And again, they said you're only 33. You can't. This is not the right time to resign. So I just kept praying in between those months. And at some point I told them, well, I feel like I am walking dead. Please allow me to leave. And at some point they just said, okay, whatever. We just wish you well.
So what did you do? What did you walk away from, and what did you walk away to?
So I walked away from an unfulfilling career, and I walked into a journey. I'd like to call it a journey because immediately I resigned. I took up small speaking engagements, and guess what? They were in the banking industry, but this time I would not be in operations like before. I'd go and give a talk on customer service, communication, leadership, and I truly enjoyed that and began connecting to people. And I did that, but as I did that, I would realize during the tea breaks, the lunch break, a lot of the people I was training in those sessions would come and say, oh, please share the story of how you resigned from the bank. I also don't like being here. And so I realized there was a need in the market. People wanted to find their purpose. And I quickly figured out that no bank or any other institution, because I'd also been invited in other institutions to talk about customer service, communication, and leadership. Nobody would pay me to go and talk about purpose or even invite me in the first place to go and talk about purpose. And that is how I ended up founding the Personal Development Institute, so that people could walk in from all walks of life, different careers and businesses, and they could come so that we could talk about their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Where did you start? How? I mean, again, you're starting from scratch. I mean, you have a very charismatic, dynamic, outgoing personality. You know, not given to a lot of details necessarily. It's not that you lack the intelligence. It's just that that's not what motivates you. So, where did you start? What were these classes or these sessions, and what were they like, and how did you find people to come to them? How did that PDI start to play out when you first began?
I called in three friends and told them that I needed a little bit of financial assistance to get it going, and they were kind enough. Allow me to acknowledge one of them, Dr. Emma Karari, and she gave me some money and said, you know, well, we will support you, whatever this means. Then I called a group of facilitators and said, I desire that these courses be wholesome. We'll not only talk about purpose, but we will talk about other things that revolve around purpose. For example, relationships, health, because you can be sick and live. I mean, if you're sick, it affects your purpose. We will talk about money. We will talk about fun and recreation. You know, the different other things that revolve around the topic of purpose. But purpose will be the major thing. And so I asked these facilitators to prepare curriculum in the areas they are good at. For example, Dr. Emma prepared the health and wellness module because she's a cardiologist by training, so she's qualified to teach that. Other people that are qualified to teach finances prepared that module, and I prepared the module on purpose, spiritual awareness, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, the things that really make me tick. And then we, with a little budget that we had, I booked a radio slot on a radio that you and I have visited when you come to Kenya. It's called Hope FM. And I just went and paid for a session, went on air and advertised and said, we are going to have the first personal development. We have the first personal development institute in Kenya. And our first class is starting on the 7th of April, 2010. If you're interested, call this number and register. And I was amazed. We had 20 people register, and that is how we started season one in 2010, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What was that like? What was the semester like? What was the term like? How long did the classes meet? Were they an hour long? Were they 6 weeks that people had to come? And then speak to you did some other creative stuff in there with the graduates. Some travel was involved. Talk to us about how some of that evolved over the time that PDI was functioning then.
So the way it functioned is we had morning classes that ran for 2 hours from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then we had evening classes that started at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. In the very first PDI season one, we had 7 students in the morning, and then we had the other 13 students in the evening because they would come after work. So the classes were 3 days in a week, 2 hours per class. And then it went on for 14 sessions. And at the end of the 14 sessions, we would go for what we would now go to practice the fun and recreation theory that we had learned in class. And I remember the very first class we went to Great Rift Valley Lodge, which is one of the most prestigious places that somebody can hang out. It's a golf course. And remember, the people attending my classes were just ordinary Kenyan citizens. So because the classes were helping us shift our mindset, we could now go to some of these prestigious hotels because we would tell ourselves, I mean, you don't have to be rich, but you can afford, you know, just a day's, meal in such a place, so why not? So as the classes went on, season 2, 3, and 4, people started really looking forward to those trips that would happen at the end of every 14 weeks. And it's been amazing because that made us tour our own country. Because I'll be honest, and most Kenyans know, there was a season where people are not visiting Masai Mara and all these beautiful places that we have within our country. And it had to do with mindset. because people are waiting for tourists, like the way you bring a group from the U.S. every year to come and visit. So we started being local tourists, and we started enjoying the beauty of our own nation. So those were some of the practical mind shifts that were going on in the class.
Yeah. You also had a graduation, didn't you?
Yes, we would have a graduation. Sometimes it would be in a ballroom in the city, in one of the hotels, and then we would now take a day and a night travel, you know, out into the lodges.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Irene Morathi from Kenya, who's coached hundreds of people in groups and one-on-ones using the DISC personality, in which she is a certified behavioral coach, and we're talking about her Personal Development Institute. Irene, you mentioned the DISC, was so instrumental in our session when we got together in 2007. And you've continued to use the DISC profile. What is it about the DISC? How do you use it? What does it do in people, with people, for people, that you've made it such an important piece of your coaching and your training and your purpose journey?
I mean, the DISC is an amazing tool for self-awareness. It completely revolutionized my life when we sat with you for 90 minutes. So part of why I use the DISC, and thank you very much, because when I needed to start using the DISC, I reached out to you and you helped me learn and go through the process of certification. And you helped me when I was practicing with my very first clients. And the reason I use it is because it opened my eyes, and that is what it does to people, everyone that I have sat with. I think from the system, because we do this with you, and especially when I have to do it online, and over the years you have brought for me the booklets, whether it's for coaching children, coaching teenagers and adults, you know that, and the people who are listening in from Kenya who've done their DISC, it really helps you to identify with your strengths, and also helps you to understand your limitations. And once you accept you get an understanding of your style, then you're free to be yourself. So that's usually the beginning point in personal development, because you can't be in purpose when you're fighting how you're wired in terms of your personality.
Yeah, and so now you mentioned youth and children. You're not doing these. You only work with adults, don't you? Or are you doing something more with the younger generation?
I'm doing this with high school leavers in Kenya. Remember that part of the programs we run at PDI is the Form 4 leavers. We call it the Secret Brilliance, helping them to identify their purpose early in life. And so we use the DISC personality, the one graph DISC, and the spiritual giftings profile with the young people. And you also introduced me to the children's DISC. So I actually do sit with children between the age of 9 and 13, and I take them through the children's DISC to help them to begin to appreciate the differences in personalities and to become comfortable in their style. And it also is a guide to greater understanding of even the possible career path that they will take in future. And of course, there is the DISC that comes with the team's report, the value style report that gives a client a 28-page report, and that I have done, you know, with many adults over the years.
Yeah.
And it's completely, it's completely liberating when people accept how they are wired.
Yeah, we were trying to count yesterday. We know it's in the hundreds that you've done, because they changed systems on us. The website didn't bring the numbers from the past forward, but you've done a lot, and I would have every confidence when you meet with somebody that you are giving them as good of a debriefing on the DISC profile as could be had really anywhere in the world. So, yeah, I found, Irene, as you know, that when I'm meeting with somebody for purpose, I like to use the DISC profile because it gets them talking about themselves. And we have been conditioned in the church not to do that, you know, to be humble, to you know, it's not about me, it's about him. And that's true, but he still uses us and he uses our personality. So I have found, I liken it to priming the pump. You know, you used to have to pour water into the pump in order to get water out of the pump. And I have to get people to prime the pump to get them talking about themselves. I found that the DISC profile is very helpful in doing that. Irene, I just mentioned something, you know, about the faith and the church, and you know, I found the church has sort of been ambivalent in their response to purpose, and especially leadership. Has that been your experience? And if so, why do you think that is?
Let me step back and then come and answer that question, because I would like those who are listening in now or whoever will listen later to understand. When I borrowed the initial $150 to do my DISC session, what people don't see, investing in yourself has the greatest return on investment, because later on, as I became a certified behavioral coach using the DISC tools. And we were counting with you last night, because I remember I had written the number from the old system, and now the current system we are able to see, it's already over 200. When I look at the income you have helped me create, and of course the greater thing is the impact in people's life, but let's be truthful, money is also important in purpose. I was looking at it, and it's over $10,000 of profit in the 10 years. You know, that's over a million shillings in Kenya shillings. So thank you very much, my purpose coach, for helping me put food on the table that way.
Sure.
Coming back to the question about the church, I believe, and I got saved when I was 14 years young, growing in the village, so I'm a church girl. I believe there's a lot of talk about purpose, but very little action and very few programs in churches that can actually help people translate from talk to living a life of purpose. That is my take. And I guess part of it stems from religious teachings, like you're saying, where people embrace a false sense of humility. Like if I am, like, for example, my name has been known in Kenya simply because of the Personal Development Institute I founded and my passion and my fire for helping people find their purpose. But you find that a lot of people want to shy back and not express themselves, because if you put yourself out there, religious teachings will tell you that you're being proud. But in reality, you're just manifesting who God created you to be, because we know in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I appointed you, for Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations. So the church has got to teach people or collaborate with marketplace people like myself and a few others that I know that teach about purpose, so that everybody in church can be rightly positioned. I see the frustration, because I've been there in different denominations in my faith journey, of people serving even in the wrong place within church. And the few church leaders who have embraced this in Kenya, and they have called me, and we've gone and done the DISC profile for their teams, even some pastors get liberated, because they realize, oh, I was in the counseling department, but that's really not me. I am best in evangelism, because that's how I am wired. So they've been able to rework things, but that's only a very small percentage. The majority are still caught up in, as church leaders, not really preaching about purpose. You know, many conferences about purpose, but we don't sit back to do an audit of, is this congregation of 5,000 people, 1,000 people, 200 people, they've had enough of purpose? Are they actually living out their life's purpose?
Yeah. And it's a bit intimidating for leadership, I think, because then people start asking questions that leadership can't answer. When people, you know, what's my purpose, or, you know, how does my gift fit in to who I am? And so we've sort of controlled it, 40 Days of Purpose with the Rick Warren book. But beyond that, we haven't done much. And I loved what you said. You know, we want other people to invest in ourselves. We don't want to invest in ourselves. ourselves. And I tell people, if you're not worthy of investing in yourself, why should anybody else? It's like, I have a business. Will you invest in it? Well, have you? Well, no, not really. I want you to invest. I'm not going to. I would say, I'm not going to invest in that business. If you don't believe in that business enough to invest in it, then why should I invest in it? And so the point is very well taken. And again, I'm encouraging your listeners, invest in yourself. And you're hearing the results, but the results are the exception rather than the rule, because we don't understand that. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Irene Marathi, who has pioneered the first personal development institute in Kenya. I call her the purpose leader in Kenya, bar none. And we've been talking about her experience as a certified behavioral coach with the DISC profile. Also says you've authored 3 books. Tell us a little bit about your books.
The first book I authored, I actually wrote while I was still working in the bank, and that is something else I'd like to throw in there. There are so many people who complain that they don't have time, but my question has always been, we all have 24 hours. How come some people achieve more? So I wrote my first book titled Celebrate the Hard Times while I was working in the bank, and in a nutshell, the book talks about just my hardships, growing up, when I came to the city, and at some point before now getting employed by the bank, the seasons I would walk for lack of bus fare. I mean, I would not even have a single dollar, so I used to walk for long distances, 17 kilometers. Sometimes I wouldn't afford sanitary towels and things like that. So I've put in that book, Celebrate the Hard Times, just the hardships I've gone through and how I kept the faith. But also in that book, I address how at one point I was engaged and by a Kenyan in the diaspora. Actually, he was living in the U.S. and his dad came over and brought an engagement ring, and how that didn't work out and how I was heartbroken. And in the same season, I had won, you know this story, Dr. Sanko, I had won the green card. And so I went through the process expecting that the American embassy would grant me a visa because I've won the green card. And long story short, without going into details, I didn't get that visa. And so my heart was broken because the engagement and the visa all happened within the same month. And I started feeling as though I'm going to go into a depression. But then again, I remembered how Paul says that he takes pleasure in his infirmities. And then I said, oh, does he celebrate his hard times? And that became the title of the book. I have also written a book titled Royal and Rich Reflections, which is a 31-day devotional based on scriptures. Then I've written a book titled Born to Win Teens, which is a book just encouraging teenagers, you know, to pursue purpose and to understand their potential from an early stage in life. And then I'm currently reviewing a book that will come out very soon. In fact, this week it will go to the publishing house. It's my fourth book, and I've done it in collaboration with some PDI alumni. It's called The Secret Brilliance, Moving Beyond Book Smart and Street Smart to Kingdom Smart.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know things are kind of in upheaval mode right now, but any idea when you think that'll be out?
Probably by mid-June it should be out.
Okay.
Because we really
Good.
Have been working. We've taken like a year to work on it. It should be out now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you and I have talked about a term that we've never heard anybody else use, and it's a term economic terrorism. When I say that, what do you think of? What does it mean to you?
The first time I heard that phrase, economic terrorism, you and I were in a taxi in Kenya. I can even remember the spot we were on going towards the Kenya KWS, Kenya Wildlife Services. And I began to tell you my journey and how the first 6 years of running the Personal Development Institute were fruitful financially, and how there had been a huge turnover, not profit, but I mean a huge turnover in terms of finances. and how I had actually shifted the institute to the leafy suburbs in Karen. And I remember one time when you visited, you came with a team, and I had not only moved the institute there, I had also moved myself, because having grown up in poverty and lived in Eastlands, Kenya all my life, I mean, I didn't mind living in the leafy suburbs. And that happened for a number of years. But then the business started going down, the numbers started shrinking, and I had to wind that up. So when I speak about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the purpose journey, the ugly is that time when the numbers of the students dwindled and I had to pack my bags from the leafy suburbs and like restart all over again. And you visited Kenya in that season, and I told you what was happening. And I remember telling you, I'm still determined to live out my life's purpose, but the money is not making sense right now. And you told me, if the enemy can't keep you from purpose, he will use economic terrorism to intimidate you from a life of purpose. And you were so gracious, you know, towards me. I remember you gave me $1,000. I'm forever grateful. And, you know, I kept going. And now, through that wilderness that lasted like for 2 years, the Lord introduced me to divine provision. And I think I have the permission to say that to say this. It's at the end of those 2 years where I was given a cash gift of $80,000, which is 8 million Kenya shillings. And somebody said, I mean, have that. We suggest you buy a little apartment, but you're free to do whatever you can. And I went and bought an apartment cash in the same estate I had let go the very first house that was on mortgage when I was leaving the bank. So I began to see that when you live out your life's purpose, God will allow you to be tested. And if you can stand the test of time, God will still reward you. Because now this money, which was a gift, is not money that had come through the PDI programs. Although I used to make such monies in PDI, but it would go into recurrent expenditure because of the expenses of living and running the program from the leafy suburb. So a lot of school fees paid in terms of business mistakes. And but I keep saying I celebrate those failures too, because they have made me a different person, and I'm able to see purpose from all angles, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and teach others what to avoid in their purpose journey.
Yeah, I can't explain that. I can't. There's no terminology in the Bible for the economic terrorism, but it's like David when he had the word of the Lord that he was going to be the king. How many years did he spend running from the current king and hiding in caves, and the people who were around him were a ragtag bunch, and he would do good and Saul would repay it with evil. And the word of the Lord will test us. Joseph, there was the same thing. The word of the Lord came to him. He goes to Egypt, and he's becomes a personal servant, a slave there, and then is misrepresented and ends up in prison. And so there is something purifying about going through those times, because you do determine that you're doing it not for the money, you're doing it because it's what God wants you to do. But then after that, you're just a different person. I when I went through mine 20 years ago, I said afterwards, I you can't intimidate me. I've been through it. I've in essence stared down the barrel of a gun. And I live to tell about it. So when somebody else or another threatening situation or an opportunity comes and you don't have the money, you're not intimidated by it. And so I'm not surprised that these recent blessings have come to you. And it's just an indication that you went through that time. You were tested. You showed not only God but principalities and powers that you were willing to stand your ground, and stand you did, and now God is standing with you, and it's really exciting to see. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking to Irene Marathi, who is the founder of the PDI Personal Development Institute in Kenya, a certified behavioral coach, has met with hundreds of people working to help them find their purpose using the DISC profiling system. Irene, what's just in general terms, what's Kenya like right now with the COVID virus? What's happening?
I'll answer you that in a minute. I just needed to tie that into what you're saying, that when you stand the test of time and God tests you and tries you. So when I began to come out of that economic crisis, that financial wilderness, I've had exciting times. I've had invitations to go to the nation of Zimbabwe, and I know you did a lot of work there. Every time I'm in Zimbabwe, I keep thinking, oh, my papa's coach paved the way for me. And, you know, yes, you did. And when they put me in nice hotels and pay me fairly well and compensate me for 2-3 days training, I've had air tickets where I'm paid for to go for personal development programs in Dubai. I have an invitation. Can you imagine this? I can't wait for the world to reopen. I have an invitation to go and speak about purpose in Australia this year in July, and I'm hoping that flights will be back by then. So there's the bad, the good, and the ugly of purpose, but we hold on. So the pandemic in Kenya, just like it is globally, we've just gone through a season of experiencing something we've never experienced. I mean, lockdowns. There's curfew from 7 p.m. until 5 a.m. What else is there? Of course, you have to wear a mask, and the security guards ensure they enforce it before you get into any building. Wash your hands, sanitize. The churches have been closed. I think it's now slightly over a month. And it's just recently that the government announced the reopening of hotels and restaurants. So we've quite had an interesting time working from home and not going to the offices. But like you keep saying in your post, and that's part of also what we are doing in the two programs we launched recently, we just have to rethink our strategies, because you can work from home and still... like a lot of the PDI programs right now are packaged online. So people just must learn how to cope with the changes that are here, because we may never, ever go back to the world as it was. Some things will go back, but some things will probably change forever. So, yeah, that's how it is. We don't have so many deaths as was projected. I think, and maybe I don't have the number right, it's between 22, and we're not at 100 yet. So we are thankful to God for divine protection, and we continue to pray that the scourge will lift globally.
Yeah, yeah. Before we, I'm going to ask you in a minute just to kind of take 5 minutes and just share some purpose insights, some purpose exhortation. But I said I had a surprise, and I'm glad to hear you're finishing your book, because I would like to invite you to collaborate with me, and let's do a book and tell our story of how God brought us together. And then we would share our purpose insights, and so if you can just be patient, and we would get to it probably sometime in our summer, July, August, we would start working on it, so that we would hopefully have it by the end of the year. Would you be up and open to be working on that?
Oh, it's exciting. I can't wait. I've desired that for so long. So finally, it's here. Wow, thank you. That's a sweet surprise. No. You just said you have a surprise. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so, I almost talked to you about it when I was there in February, but I just didn't feel it was, the time was right, and I was so busy that I didn't want to, you know, ask you and then have it too far in the future that we would start working on it. So, but it just, to me, a natural progression of our relationship and the work that we do, and leave a little piece of me behind in good hands whenever I can't be in Kenya. So I can't think of anybody I'd rather give it to. Take about 4 or 5 minutes. I know you could talk for a whole hour. Just give our listeners some things to think about as we close out our session.
I want to encourage everyone. It doesn't matter in which part of the world you live in. you must embrace your divine purpose, the reason that God put you here on earth, and you must remember that we shall all give an account one day. So sometimes we are caught up just chasing after the wind. Sometimes it's fear that holds us because we're wondering, if I step into purpose, how shall I pay my bills? But it is good to have eternity in mind and realize that we will give an account of our life's purpose. And so this is my encouragement and my challenge at the same time to all of us to arise and pursue a life of purpose. The other thing I'd like to say, and it's just like a summary of what Dr. Stanko and I have talked in this session, is when you say yes to purpose, just like Jesus, realize that you will have to carry your cross. It's not all going to be rosy, but it's also not all going to be gloomy. There are good days, there are tough days. I mean, for Jesus, there were tough days when he was on the cross fulfilling purpose, and there were glorious days like the morning of resurrection when he was still fulfilling purpose. So as you embrace the journey of purpose, be prepared for what I would call the two sides of the coin of your life's purpose. Yeah. And then I would like to say, remember, because money is one of the greatest reasons that holds people, especially here in Kenya, I don't know about other parts in the world, from pursuing purpose, because they think I can only have provision through a job or a business, because you can be pursuing a job or it could be a business that is not aligned to your purpose. I'd like you to release that and realize that the Lord is your provider. It's amazing in this COVID season that the two courses we launched in partnership with one of the PDI alumni called Betty Maura, every single day we have a client signing up. So in a time when the world is talking about economic crisis, we have experienced divine provision. So allow God to be your provider. So release the stress of how money is going to come into your hand, how you're going to get a house, and all those things that we pursue, and just pursue God and let him be faithful to his word, because indeed he does provide. And then I would say, surround yourself with a support system. Coach Dr. John Stanko is one of my greatest people in my inner circle. It's been 13 years of working together with Dr. Stanko. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, of course, because he's very seasoned, very mature, very spiritual, having been a pastor, we've never had an argument in 13 years. So allow God. Yeah, we've never, you know, the way people talk about falling out, we've never experienced that, and I know it won't happen. So surround yourself with people who can support you in your purpose journey. People who can even, like I said, when I was really down there, he gave me a gift of $1,000. So have, maybe begin by praying, God bring quality people who can be part of my inner circle. And then I would also say commit to continued learning. Last year, Dr. Stanko, you know, I went back to school for a whole year just to take other coaching classes so that I can become a better seasoned coach. So whatever kind of investment you need, depending on what your purpose is, for example, if you have a passion in baking, you may, and it's just a passion, so you bake from home, you may want to take a class to perfect that. So whatever it is that you need to become more seasoned and more skilled in your purpose, please embrace that. I think those are the few tips that come to mind automatically. I didn't want to ask
very good.
Me, so...
Just the closing seconds. If somebody, and I want to encourage people to take advantage of this new course, how can people get in touch with you?
Facebook, you can find me on Facebook, Irene Murevi, and we give the details of the course there. If you're in Kenya, you can call my number, which is 0725-599-468. Again, that is 0725-599-468, or you can drop me an email, irene@pdi.or.ke.
Very good. Irene, great. Well, we got to sign off, and so thank you. Blessings to you and all our friends in Kenya, and we'll be in touch, and I hope to see you sometime this year, and hope Australia works out for you, and I hope business continues to go very well. God bless you, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have, Madam. I call her Madam Dynamic, Dynamique. It's Irene Marathi and her work in Kenya. Can't endorse it strongly enough. Again, her phone number is 0725-599-468. Or go to Irene Marathi on Facebook. Or go to PDI on Facebook, too. In the meantime, this is John Stanko. We'll be here tomorrow. I've got a special guest for you. Also, download the ministry app, Purpose Quest International. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.